Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Just terrific, Jill. And how are you?
You are reliably terrific, and that is always good news for us.
Thank you.
I am well, thank you, and I am a big fan of today's topic, which is how do you kill a company culture? Because I believe that is, given what's going on, a reasonable thing to discuss.
Well, it's a very apt topic, Jill, obviously. Zuckerberg has been in the headlines every day for the last couple of weeks, as you have read, all of us have read, many key advertisers has left have left Facebook, and Mark, who I've always liked and really admired for what he's done and his ethics. He's lost many, many key employees as well. So the company culture clearly at Facebook is being damaged in a significant way.
Before
So
you,
there's it's a very interesting topic. So there's a good piece in Leadership Briefings on it, and two, what I want to add. Something that most of us have read, the Sheryl Sandberg book, Lean In, and talk about the very topic as articulated in her book, which has really changed the way women think about their jobs as well and their opportunities. So let's start with, I mean, this can go on for a couple of hours
Yeah,
today,
really.
but I know we have a time limit. So there's I mentioned a very interesting article in Leadership Briefings last week, and the author is Jay Forte, president of the Greatness Zone LLC. One, it's a purpose. I mean, does the company have a purpose? I've always talked about purpose, 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 as you know, and many of our shows. I mean, why do we exist? What is the mission? Why do we go to work every day? Is it just to make money? I mean, do we enjoy what we're doing? Is the mission poorly defined? So a lot of younger employees are choosing their workplace based on the alignment and the values, and the author reminds us, Jay Forte, that think of Apple, Patagonia, Whole Foods, Starbucks. People want to belong to a tribe more than they want to belong to a firm, a company, a tribe that's really driven by a purpose they believe in. And we really have to focus on that. It's a different world. Remember that, I worked for Hewlett Laboratories for 18 years and worked for Havas for 15. No more. It doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't exist anymore.
I am curious, however, because I know that it doesn't exist, but I also know that there are a bunch of people who are needing the security of a long-term relationship with a company that's coming along. And so I am going to be very interested to see how this particular situation resolves because there's a certain sense of loyalty and community that is necessary because of the ups and downs of life. And when you have a family to support, when you're just by yourself, that's one thing. But if you have a family to support, you need a certain type of stability that's not necessarily, incumbent in just going from place to place. And the other thing that all of this focus on this particular generation does is you kind of forget how many people are out there with long-term jobs.
Quite right. And obviously, if you have a family, you have to support them. But what happens is they start looking immediately for the next job. I mean, they're not going to leave their job. They're not going to give up the, you know, the check every other week, but they start looking. They're not happy. They start looking. So the focus really isn't on the job. It's looking for the next job.
I see.
That's the thing to keep in mind, Joe. The second one is, you know, your ethical standards are nebulous. Remember, we're just talking about how do you kill a company culture. The ethical standards are nebulous. When, you know, the big wooden shoes are closed at the highest corporate level, does your staff trust what's going on behind them? You know, the whispers and the uneasiness about your moral compass, that will end. That will send the culture downhill very, very quickly, very quickly. You don't stress competency and talent enough. Great employees don't want to be the strongest ones and have to keep doing the work of everyone else. No, it's not, they don't want to do that. Your system of rewards and incentives is based on, in many cases, fantasy and myth. The author here admires systems that create a pool of funds available to staff on overall company performance, in addition to a personalized achievement plan for each employee. So people are always working collectively and in pursuit of other aspirations. It's a very important point, Jill, for sure. I mean, bonuses, aspirations, the bonuses have to be paid on company performance. You just can't single out one or two people. You know, sometimes there is a private bonus, but it's what they have done to boost the company revenue, the company morale. Very, very important that we have that. Next, you know, you don't hold up the mirror as often as you should. You know, the awkward one-a-year talk an employee must endure in hopes of a 4% raise isn't enough. By nature, almost all of us crave approval. Feedback should be constant and not simply corrective. You know, the old performance reviews. Once a year, you sat in the office, sat down, door closed, performance review once a year. Ridiculous. And many companies that I know of have just run away with it. Performance reviews come as needed. Once a quarter, once every 6 weeks, but you don't wait for a year to give a performance review. It's insane. And one thing, a key point, you're too much of a business, not enough of a college. I really believe this, and I've seen this to be so true. What would you rather ask your employees? Quote, you were hired for your skills, who will now use what you've got, and here's your paycheck, unquote. Or, you were hired so you can learn and keep getting better, both for our sake and whatever career you might choose beyond these walls, unquote. If people leave you with the same skills they walked in with on day one, your culture clearly has failed you. One of our clients, a major pharmaceutical company, liked our idea of having a university within the corporation. So the rapid onset people, those who really want to grow, indeed attend a once-a-month course with a very good speaker in all areas. Online marketing, you know, analytics, things that the rising stars need to learn, and they attract employees because we started a university within that firm, and it seems to be going very, very well. Okay, the people really, really enjoy it. So that's really key. And the last thing, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but most of us have read the Sheryl Sandberg book, Lean In. Very, very important. She wrote in the intro, quote, the chicken. Women will tear down the external barriers once we achieve leadership roles. The egg. This is the chicken and the egg. The egg. We need to eliminate the external barriers to get women to really move. At first, Sheryl Sandberg couldn't do much about the egg, she admitted, but by publishing Lean In, she said, I'm encouraging women to address the chicken, okay? Eliminate those external barriers to get women into these roles in the first place. And, you know, it's not easy, but the more women get together and start to move up and lean in, the more you will see women in executive roles, despite the fact that they don't play golf or any stuff like that with the men. They find a way to do it. They say, I'm here, I'm being heard, I'm going to lean in, but that may not be apropos. We definitely have to course correct, Sheryl Sandberg says. One person told me, I read the book that says I should sit at a table. You're right. That is great. I'm really glad you read that. When you're a senior manager, that would be a time to keep your seat. But as a brand new hire, straight out of the undergrad, now is a time to learn. When we're on one-on-one and in our small core group, our small core group interjects. When we are delivering a client presentation, there is a time to listen and learn. It used to be men we had to do that with. Now we're doing it among ourselves. So, a new culture, Jill. That's what we're talking about, okay? Cheryl, in her book that everybody read, men and women, mostly women, have started the new culture of leaning in.
Now listen,
it's not about women just sitting back, it's leaning in.
All right, we've got a couple minutes, and speaking of leaning in or not, this is something that I wanted to take advantage of your existence and just past history, so forget gender, forget everything. When the Facebook, let's call it crease, started spilling out of the pages or spilling onto people's screens and so forth, is it your view that they managed that properly? Because I know that one of the things that you've always maintained is trying to get ahead of something. And it seemed as though it made me curious. So what was your opinion only of how this has been managed to date?
Yes, well, in many cases, it was managed very, very poorly. Very poor. You know, you read Leaned In, you read what Sheryl said about the importance of getting women trained to move up, develop. Many people did it the right way, in a classy, sophisticated way. Other women, you know, spoke to the press. I'm being discriminated once again. I can't move up in this organization. I'm gonna leave. You know, it's all about men. Look at our board. There's not one female on our board. Look at the management committee. We don't have one senior woman in the place. So many of the women spoke out, disliked because they did speak out. Other women did it in a classified way. They did it because they added knowledge to the firm. They really helped the male colleagues move forward, and those are the women who got moved up, okay? But you have to do it. I mean, as much as you write, much as you read, Jill, you have to do it in a classy, sophisticated way. Yep, that's a must.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flau, Leader's Edge.